Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding present the CBS Radio Network. All right, enough music. Hey, Bob, I've had a lot of mail saying I'm mispronouncing your name. Is that right? Isn't it Elliott? Is that how you pronounce it?
That's how I pronounce it, yes.
All people say it should be pronounced Elliott. And that,
well, I think that's a kind of a holdover from your European visit, where a great many people do pronounce the name Elliott.
No, Alan called it that. He's not from Europe.
No,
I guess he is at that.
Some people.
Liechtenstein. No, where is he from? Luxembourg?
Luxembourg City is his home, I think.
Or Angora. Somewhere, anyway. But, well, I'm not mispronouncing it, then, because...
It doesn't matter to me.
Okay, then, Bob Elliott.
I'd rather have you say Elliott, you know.
Oh, Elliott, okay. Good.
But it makes no difference.
Well, gee, it's another Friday. And what is so rare is a Friday in June. We have the whole weekend now, and closing the door ceremonies in just a few minutes.
Yes, a lot of people, incidentally, speaking of mispronunciation and the mail that's come in, a lot of people have asked us what date this year is the Bob and Ray outing going to be held.
It's right now, friends, we cannot get Pine Grove. As you know, we discovered last year that it's infested with mosquitoes and...
water moccasins.
Yeah, cotton mouths and other type of people.
Just a terrible place to have an outing.
So we're not going back there. The polo grounds being used for European-style football or soccer. And, of course, the Yankee Stadium is being used now by a mortuary concern.
And Ebbets Field is much better off.
So there really isn't a place where we can hold the thing. If we can get the garden...
Madison Square?
No, Mary McGoon's.
Oh, yeah.
Then maybe we could go there.
Good place.
That's up in Vermont, you know.
And that's just where we're going now, because Wally Ballou is standing by up there at Salt Flats, is it?
Salt Flats, Vermont, yeah. Come in, please. W. Ballou.
My arm is in there. Let me know when I'm on, will you? Just give me a...
You're not on yet. Call. They said they'd let me know, and then I'll tell you when you're on.
Okay.
Give me a mic test, will it?
Hello.
Get close
one,
to
two,
mic.
Three.
Get close
one,
to mic,
one, two, three.
Get close.
We're one,
that's
two, three.
Perfect.
Bob's here, huh?
No, back a little.
Back a little.
Right. Well, a beautiful day, huh?
No single yet?
No, the show's on the air now, isn't it? Unless my watch is stopped.
No, it should be on the air now. Can you hear it over your earphones?
I can't hear anything. I just hear the... I think it's the...
Is the blade ready to go, Gleason?
You know what I'm getting on these?
What?
I'm getting the audio of some TV show.
Yeah? What do you hear?
The comedy show.
Oh, yeah, I thought the comedy was dead. But that's
wait a minute. It's a Western show.
Oh, yeah.
But I finally
was. Any signal yet?
Now, why don't you just go ahead? Start anyway.
Well, I don't want to go ahead if we're not.
Wait a minute. Yes. I just have to go ahead. Go ahead, Baloo.
Just point at me. Would you want me to go ahead?
Hey, why don't you go now?
Huh?
Go now. You're out of here.
This is Radio's Wally Baloo from Salt Flats, Vermont, where we're about to chat with a gentleman who... Interesting.
Go ahead.
The art world. His name is Gleason Trelawney, and he is a gentleman who has perfected a very unusual brand of painting. Gleason, I wonder if you'd come over to our microphones for just a moment before you take off in your crop dusting airplane.
I'll be very pleased to, Elliot.
No, Baloo is my name.
Oh, right. I thought you were Bob Elliott.
Oh, he doesn't come out on these assignments.
Oh, well, all right. You have my name backwards.
I think he pronounces it Elliott, though.
You have my name pronounced backwards, anyway.
Gleason Trelawney?
Trelawney Gleason.
Oh.
I think, wait a minute, let me look at my driver's license.
I was told it was Gleason Trelawney when I came up here, but that doesn't...
Boy, if I get stopped once more, I don't drive for a year. You're right, Gleason Trelawney.
I understand you use this airplane in your painting. Could you tell us just how it works?
Yes, you see, Mr. Blue, I am of the modern school, and where so many of my type of painter in the past few years has merely walked along a canvas and has just let a wet paintbrush grip onto the canvas.
Yes, yes, I'm familiar with that school.
I have employed a different technique. I have an airplane that was formerly used for processing.
Yes.
And I have put different colored paints in different little containers, and by pushing a button,
I see.
Swoop low over my canvas in the field, I have a rather spread out or misty effect that I can't achieve by just merely standing over it.
Have a little spray guns there. Little spray guns on the cans of paint, which must require a great deal of dexterity in order to, you have a canvas that's about 24 by 18 inches here in the middle of this field.
That's right. I'll go up and I can make several raids on it and get what I would consider a very lovely attempt.
Okay, then, Mr. Gleason, would you go over and get in your airplane?
Gleason Trelawney.
Right. Get in your airplane and... We'll stand back while he makes the first pass over the canvas, which is laying here in the sun, and we'll see just how his picture fits out. He's taking off now, and I'm stepping back. How much wire do I have, Chester? Chester, my engineer, how much wire can I spread out here?
Not as much as you have.
I don't want to take the way of... Wait, he's swinging around now. He's at an altitude of about 15 feet. He's coming in low over the field with his crop-dusting plane and over the canvas. He looks a little bit to the right of it. I don't think he's going to hit squarely, but that may make a good effect. And I see the paint coming out. There it is. Oh! Ladies and gentlemen, he released the paint a bit too soon, which caused... a flood of red and yellow paint to be dropped on the Civil War cabin, which is in the town square, just a few hundred yards from here.
That hit me, too.
It hit my engineer, Chester, and splashed all over the field. He's coming back. Now, watch it, Chester. He's going to make another pass. This time, I think, with green and blue paint. Well, he hit Chester again, and also the drugstore is covered with green and blue paint. I don't think it's been really a success. You get much, Chester?
Oh, boy.
Too bad. Ladies and gentlemen, I think that will be the end of our coverage of this unusual art event.
Listen,
from
now on, Chester. Come on, don't ask for local engineers. Bring a guy from New York. I'm not good anymore.
Turn it to Bob and Bryce.
Back here in our studios in New York. Again, a reminder, it's Friday, and we have a wonderful weekend coming up. And I think it's time now, isn't it, that we have a spot?
Yes, about the Mitch Miller Show.
Oh.
Which glittering show business folk is going to be dropping by on Mitch this week, you know?
Well, let's see. For one, Max and Mitzi's celebrated cream dog act, Bob.
How many dogs do they have now?
They have just the two, Max and Mitzi.
They travel around from place to place by themselves, you mean? They book passage in a railroad baggage car?
Well, how should I know these things?
Well, they must be talking dogs, I guess.
It's a pretty ridiculous idea, Bob.
Let me get this straight, Ray. These two dogs, Max and Mitzi, go around and put on an act.
It's a free country, isn't it?
Well, I don't believe we should pursue this any further. Who else is on the Mitch Miller Show?
The only ones who are firmly booked, as of now, are...
Well, let's not talk about them anymore, huh?
Unless, of course, they miss connections for New York on Sunday. Sometimes bumped from baggage cars, you know.
The Mitch Miller Show, Sunday night on CBS Radio.
It's really a bit much. Be sure and tune, you know.
Invited to listen anyway.
Sure and dial in, eh?
Now let's go cross town to the Gourmet Club.
Okay.
Hello, everyone. Claude and Clyde are greeting you from the Bob and Ray Gourmet Club be here on the west side of Manhattan in New York City. Hey, what's that, Clyde?
Yes, sir. It's a very wonderful turnout of guests. And this, of course, is Bring Your Friends Night at the Gourmet Club. This is the one night in the year where members are allowed to bring more than one guest without paying $2 a head.
You may be able to hear the Scotch jigs being played on the dais as the entertainment, a prelude to the opening of a famous person's sandwich that takes place before a multitude of celebrities and very well-known people as well.
The sandwich has arrived on the premises and is now being brought down the center aisle with the Scotch has left the stage.
And now the sandwich is being handed to the dais here, and the sealed envelope bearing the name of its famous owner. What's that? Our lovely assistant Elaine has just whispered to me, Claude, that inasmuch as this sandwich belongs to a gentleman who is currently under rather heavy fire from a local committee,
yes,
he would prefer the sandwich be opened and described in closed session.
All right. Well, that's certainly a reasonable request. Let's retire then to the ante room.
First time this has ever happened at the Gourmet Club.
We can bring out the music again and let everyone start to dance.
I believe we're going to have some entertainment from one of the popular dance bands with the digit here. And so, inasmuch as we can't open a sandwich, it will be opened in closed session.
Quiet.
Yes.
The dais is on fire, please. Stand back.
All right. Let's return it to our main studio.
Thank you, Claude
and Clyde.
Another fine, Clyde. Interesting. I didn't happen to hear it. I was busy reading the evening paper. I wonder, do we have a commercial for all our dear friends? I see we're our qualified engineer who recently graduated from a Eastern college.
And slow-moving college, too.
Who forgets exactly how to, what they call it, cue up an ET. For those of you who are in radio, there's no need of explaining it. For those of you who belong to his family, I suggest that...
You'll have some explaining.
You better call on a rich uncle, because he's coming home with bad news tonight.
Pepsi-Cola refreshes without filling. Why? Because it's truly light.
Charlie, you're forgetting something.
Wait, Kay, there's more. Yes, ice-cold Pepsi is the delicious refreshment that goes great at a picnic or a party.
But, Charlie...
And Pepsi goes fast. People like it, so keep plenty handy. There.
Oh, you did fine, except for one thing.
Well, I mentioned lightness and how Pepsi refreshes and how fast it goes.
You left out Pepsi sociability. You know the Be Sociable song.
Okay, I can't sing.
I can. Listen.
Be sociable. Look smart. Keep up to date with Pepsi. Drink light, refreshing Pepsi. Stay young and fair and debonair. Be sociable. Have a Pepsi.
Well, at least I can say this. Pick up an extra carton of Pepsi today.
Please do.
Just time for our closing door ceremony, a regular Friday feature here at CBS.
When we remember it. There they go. You know, after the ceremony, the studios are closed for the weekend. You can probably hear now. As the CBS guard asking the night supervisor for the police.
John! He seems to have some trouble in fighting.
It seems that Dick Hyman has lost the keys somewhere. Now he's found them, and he's handing them over now.
This is an impressive moment. There they are. He has them now. And I think it's just a matter of time. On the door, swing shut. And is locked for the week.
All well.
Oh, yes, it's all well now.
Okay.
By the center. Quick, box. By the center.
Got bad news. Hyman is locked in. We'll be back, though, to say so long in just 10 seconds. We hope you have a nice weekend, everybody, and we'll see you Monday. Until then, Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang while you're there.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
KCBS 70. CBS 70.